Well, Friday it is around Papua New Guinea. We're wrapping up the week. It's one day we look forward to as soon as we start the week. Monday we come to work, we come to school, and we're already looking forward to Friday. Shame on us, huh? It's already here anyway. Oh, thank goodness it's Friday. Friday the 3rd of December. We're, what, 22 days away from Christmas? Biggest event in the calendar. Oh, and I look forward to it. Imagine this. I feel like a child looking forward to Christmas every year. Today, in fact, we're wrapping up week 48. It's the 337th day of the year. We're left with 28 days to go. And Max Miller actually writes in my diary book, the saying for the day, a flower cannot blossom without sunshine. Likewise, a man cannot live without love. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Let me read that again for you. A flower cannot blossom without sunshine. And man cannot live without love. Anyway, how you doing? Good morning to you. Thank you again for the company. Our discussions this morning, in fact, we're going to close it off at 11 o'clock. At 11 this morning, there's in fact a royal banquet that's taking place in a week's time or so here at the Gateway Hotel in Port Moresby. And this is in fact for women of destiny. All right, our discussions will be on at 11 o'clock. They're hosting the Third Kingdom Women's Royal Banquet on the 18th of December. Details of that and the fundraising that they're doing this for the activities is quite overwhelming. I'll hold that until 11 o'clock when we get our guests in and we'll have that discussion going. In the next hour, though, the regional member for Bougainville, the Honorable Peter Tiamalili Jr., joins us as well. It'd be nice. It'll probably be the first time he come on the show wearing a new hat. He's been a regular and a good friend of the Nansphone FM 100 Talkback in a different capacity, this time, in fact, as the regional member for Bougainville. And so it'd be nice to actually have the chat again with him as we head up for Christmas. All right. But for now, though, we're still on the 20 days of human rights activism. And our discussions, in fact, that have been spread out with collectively put from friends from different organizations. Up till this day, the 20 days of human rights activism gets wrapped up on the 10th of December, which is next week. And the days have been spread out with various activities, starting off with the Universal Children's Day on the 28th of November, and thereabout, in fact, a number of other activities on the calendar. We also had emphasis around the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which fell on November the 25th. The Human Rights Defenders Day on the 29th of November. World AIDS Day the other day, the 1st of December. The International Day of Persons with Disability is actually today, the 3rd of December. Yes? Okay. And Francis has become a radio personality himself. He's been on the show every now and then. And he's looking at me like, yes, it is. In fact, today, I'll introduce our guests in a bit from now. And the International Anti-Corruption Day is on the 9th of December. And the International Human Rights Day is on the 10th of December. I'm going to wrap up Talkback. And we also wrap up the 20 days of human rights activism as well. So how about that again? You're probably wondering, hey, Mr. D, how do you know all of it? Well, usually I've got it here on paper. And so I'm looking it up. That's probably what Francis Murray from the Murray's Brothers is lost for. You look a little bit lost there, Francis. Was there something you trouble with? You're probably thinking, how do you remember all of this, yes?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm smart, am I? I've got it on paper here. Anyway, good morning to you, Francis.
Good morning.
No worries. Thanks for joining us. Also, someone who's actually already been here on Talkback has come back again. The National Child Protection Officer. Yes? National Child Training Officer with the National Unit for Persons with Disability with Carland Services. Of course, Laura Mintani is also joined us as well.
Thank you.
How are you, by the way, Annie?
I'm okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's work, by the way?
Work's fine.
All right. Yeah. Since the last time we actually spoke up, you know, work's been good?
It's been really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And towards Christmas, now, does it get any hectic?
Not really. I think it's because of the situation that we are currently in. So, but otherwise, they are winding down now, so... Looking forward to Christmas.
Looking forward to Christmas. All right, how about that again? I know last time we spoke, we had a brief idea of what you probably do.
Mm.
Can you start again with, sort of, I suppose, maybe give us an idea again on what you do as a child, a national child training officer?
Yes. So
this is really common sense.
Yes. So, good morning to everyone listening across PNG. So, I am actually the National Child Protection Trainer for Kallam Services National Unit. So, that is part of the network of Kallam Services. So we have the national unit itself and the Inclusive Education Resource Centers and the Kallam Institute. So that is all the actors in that network. So we work in collaboration to meeting the needs of persons with disability. So I actually go out into the resource centers. So we are actually in the network to provide training in child protection to teachers in the resource centers and those that need our support.
Yeah, great. Interestingly, in fact, and I was wondering, okay, what has that got to do as a National Child Protection Training Officer?
Yes.
What has that got to do with disability? You know, people with disabilities,
yes.
I think it's framed up very well, yes?
Yes.
It's quite important, yes?
It's very important in the scope of work that we're doing. We have children with disabilities as well. So looking in general, in the general aspects, we mainly look at children that are able, and we, in most cases, we overlook children with disabilities, and we look at those that we feel, oh, okay, so persons with disabilities is persons with disabilities, and children with disabilities come under that, so we just look at the persons with disabilities. So then we looked at, like, after the Universal Declaration on Rights of Children, which the government has also involved themselves in through the Lookout in Bikini Act, we, in our own part, that is the Kallam Services National Unit, we do the best we can in terms of providing services to those children with disabilities.
Mm.
So child protection is one important area in the network.
Absolutely. Francis has been on the show for a good number of times now and is familiar with the routine that actually goes on here. So Francis, let's go back again to where your part comes in, very important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And with references to the UPR, is that the Universal Periodic Review, into the third cycle we are, yes?
Yep.
All right. Maybe set the pace for us in the environment for our discussions this morning in relation to people living with disability.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Once again, thank you, Douglas, and the listeners, for listening from wherever you are. Purpose for us to appear, let me go again and reiterate on that, to raise awareness on issues concerning women's rights, children's rights, people living with disabilities, and environmental resources. The other purpose of us appearing on the FM Talk 100 topic show was to keep awareness on Universal Periodic Review, the mechanism that runs through United Nations. And at the same time, we wish to share views and get people and citizens, or our government especially, to actually look into those recommendations that we put forward through the Universal Periodic Review process, as well as the member states that put forward the 60 delegations that put forward their recommendations to the state under review, which is PNG. So, concerning those issues, I understand if those that, you know, they followed as well. Today is people living with a disability, we're going to speak on that. And that is more to do with people's general understanding of people living with disabilities, general considerations, as well as the violence that we people did on the people living with disabilities without us realizing it. And that, as well as we will do awareness on those, their rights contributing to public affairs or their involvement in public affairs in terms of decision making, you know, what the point that we might stress more is on their rights to vote as well, the leaders, and most of the times we seem to ignore them, those people that need special needs, you know, with people living with disabilities, and that's something that we're going to discuss for today.
Okay, so there you go. Francis Meyer from Irish Brothers, in fact, just an outline of our discussions on the various issues there. As part of the 20 days of human rights activism, looking at children, women, and now, of course, into being inclusive, really, people living with disability. On top, a quick commercial break, of course, and we'll be back after these messages. And as part of the 20 days of human rights activism, today is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. What is it really? What do we do in marking this day? Now, I've got a panel here with Francis Marai from Maris Brothers, and of course from Carlin Services, National Child Protection Training Officer, is Lauren Pennings. I've got Simon also online joining us from Goroka as well. Maybe let's take Simon's call first. And Simon is a good friend of the and family of the Men's Fund FM 100 Talkback as well. It certainly has been a while, Simon. How are you, dear brother?
Good plan.
Historically, I mean, the issues that you're faced with, and while I have the panel here recognizing people living with disability, Simon, by the way, is visually impaired, but he's gone for his share of success stories in a way, regardless of his disability. We recognize the ability. Going through certain courses and through different works. He now runs his own canteen and is doing quite well, I'd like to think. Simon, you have to start a little bit like yourself.
So all listeners right around the country can hear him. Sometimes we need to see the disability. But one way we want the teaching now is that now you need to try sita wilo dicia mi intrangu ya. Mi intrangu sita wilo dicia, y mi intrangu toko fe. It's only one black part though. Lo stems di mi ira en lo nukluk, o arim, o maybe wokobaut, o anything, you know, like you mentioned that. O narba, you need ten woke. You need that this ability. You need that this like potential. You need that this like talent of working something else. Of working something one kind of something larger. All large all in the organic on able body. Mono like not able body but all large alone or you can look on to Narina or can work about the kind of thing but you are not so you look on you are not I think your last 10 to 15 years many of now you can as a leader that can do on line on the special needs or not in university. So I'm going to go to the University of Boroka. And you have learned by Mary Cook, you have been in England, but you have been in the last year, and I'm going to UPMG. Even despite this disability, I've got to be independent, I've got to be 30 more. And no matter from your education department, all you can use time, I'll make him only kind of an only putting as an inclusive. Over the something like system that you can like you read your address or one and one you got and an address problem is me and all those projects in the education department looks away. And in this you reach as an ordinary department like health, commerce, especially commerce. Now all large department is the government by mass taking this taking this same approach and by good law. Because now you got I think last time you saw this in the Congress, player made instead of me in there, but then nothing in class, then you can see that when finishing the school then. I think it's about proud of the Mary. We are not often the last 10 years, we can become the same hotel. We can see the plan to keep the same thing to come up. We are almost to open online go see or ask me or look at work now or presume. One law blow, or one the bill, or passing law, or anything, giving this law, override, or giving this law, some law, looks away, or present something specially. Looks away, we hope that this law is something on the ready. I think January, February, January, Parliament sitting, we hope that then by all being before law, Parliament law, all by looks away, law. Me and us, me like to thank you. Giving somebody a life, well, thinking on listeners, on phenomena, on local harimsa, where you can look for, you know, often because of the more frangu, but you must get a height to go here. You must get right. So, low, make participate for all the ways where, when all the time, or not that you need to bring participate them, or present from the internet, or special needs. All good and making so. Me, I'm not going to take you through. And me, I'm not sure on parliamentarian, giving something like that, especially me meeting in Denny Allen. Now, maybe on Marvel Line too, where I say, team or person for them, especially if me are in Salatil or Robert Agarwal, the governor of the central, then on Marvel, MP, where I say, look, Salatil, the person for them, disability, special needs, yeah. Of the crime, helping, making sure they learn some of one kind of some, we have a screen, like a closer to the wall. The agreement and blessing was Lord, and things start Lord. Closer to the wall. And we read also the test of
the okay. Thank you, Simon. So, by you had him stop the radio, eh?
Yes.
Okay, good luck. Thank you, Sven. There you go. Thanks for calling. Anyone just wanted to add on to what Simon said? Someone's mentioned a few things here, and I take note. It's appreciative of what the education department is doing. I'll be listening off there. And being inclusive. And he's stretching this out to the Commerce Department and maybe other departments to recognize the needs. And he used the word, you know, Toronto. What does that mean? Feeling sorry, isn't it?
Sorry. Yeah.
We should not be feeling sorry, maybe. But look at them on like everybody else, you know. Though they will need the special needs, but I suppose recognizing the ability, yes, and not the disability, in that sense. We'll come to that in a bit, but I want another call. We haven't even started the conversation. We've got another call. Let's take this call. Last one from 100 Talkback.
Good morning.
Yes.
Dougie, I'm really happy about our colleagues now at the Honor Stadium in studio. I'm really happy.
Okay.
We are talking about human foundation, mental foundation.
Sorry, but could you turn the volume down on your radio, please?
We have to look at the human fundamental basic level. The basic level, because you need now, you need a good car, now you need stuff, now you need a good car, you need a mask. And what about those, all our disabilities rolling around the streets? One man in the looks at it, you may put in sleepy, that's all he's starting to say, you may, and could have you may look, oh, la, Lily, that's all he may have in them. Come on, should look good, that is now a triangle line. And good, that's that me, supporting Simon, me, supporting now, you can sit down the studio, 100%. That's the way we are talking about human dignity growing up. Sick people, good people, bad people. Good fundamental strength, good foundation, good doctor, good. And this is kind of something by any kind of income because we are the one in the growing Papua New Guinea. We have to have good line and no good line.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for calling, Vega. Just to show an appreciation again as to recognize people with disabilities. Logan, let's come to you again and let's have a look at some of these points that have been raised and probably what you do with Talent Services and how you do your outreach programs and reaching out to people who need.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, the ones who are participating in listening to what we are contributing, especially in terms of awareness and information sharing. Thank you, Stradley Salmon, you Harim Stab, Big Brother, thank you, your contribution to you too, despite your the disability, you still have a say in the community, and that's very good. I commend you for that. With Kalan Services, I also appreciate this mechanism that has given us the push to speak up for persons with disability. So this universal periodic review is one that when Kalan Services took part in that, we really recognized, we really came to see the importance of sharing this information to the rest of our colleagues in the civil society. Okay, so Kalan Services, we have done a lot in the US. It's about 30 years in the country, and our work has impacted a lot of people. And with that, we have a lot to talk about, a lot to say that, okay, we have done our part. We have done our part in terms of disseminating information into the communities. Okay, so what we actually do, we go out in sharing information, and with the resources that we have, them acknowledging the services that we provide, especially those registered in the Inclusive Education Resource Center, is one that we see through them coming to us and telling us individually, and also to telling the communities that we are in, that Okanagan Services has done a lot in terms of rehabilitation, where we can say providing wheelchairs to the physical disabilities and hearing aid. So I think the first instance, many don't, they mix Okanagan Services with Kalang Radio.
Yeah, Kalang.
So,
Kalang, yes.
Every time when they ask about the organization, and when we say Kalang, oh, you're the national radio that we work with persons with disabilities. So.
And Kalang listens in your organization, it's Kalang for us, Kalang. Limited, of course, the company owns FM 100.
Yes.
And Hot 97 is Kalang with a K. Can I come Lom and Wanu there? Simon mentioned, okay, the departments and government coming into play, and commerce especially. And now the caller here at 14 Monday also is calling up for government's approach in a sense. For you, as an NGO, you can only do so much, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And you've come up this far.
Yeah.
How can you measure the outreach of government? When you go to remote areas or when you do a program reaching out to people with disabilities?
Yes, thank you. So appreciating government's existence in like support in any other way I could in terms of measuring what they have done in terms of providing services, I believe there is still a lot to be done. Government needs to come more on this area. We have done our part, but like we are a non-profit organization. We come in the civil society. We depend on donors' existence. So anytime the donor can kick us out, and then where is the sustainability? We are working on that. So I'd say we need the support from the government.
And the government can partner with
us. They can partner with us. But I think there's still a bit of discussion still going on there to strengthen that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, I would like to highlight, like, the community development, department for community development and religion. I believe they have this, the disability desk that they have been really doing as much as they can. So, like, we just need the strengthening of the partnership, so we collaborate. There is collaboration in terms of seeing that sign on the board, but in action, yes, we needed collaboration. So in little areas, yes, we have recognized the Department of Education and all this, and appreciating where they're coming. But I'd say there's still a lot to be done.
Absolutely, there's still room for improvement.
Yes, yes.
Lomin Penis is a National Child Protection Trainer or Training Officer with the National Unit for Persons with Disability. The Kalang Services. I guess I'm talking about quick commercial break. All right, Francis, let's come to you now. And in your opening remarks, while we recognize today as the day, International Day for the People with Disabilities, you mentioned something like the rights of these people, the rights of them to public affairs, to have green, and in fact, like you're looking at the national election that's coming up, yes, they have the right to actually also go and participate. To have the representation of our parliament. You also, for us people, able people really, you mentioned something around human rights deprivation, depriving their rights in a way. Could you expand a bit more on that? And probably we might be doing it without being aware that we are, yes, depriving, the rights of people with disability. Yes?
Yeah, I try to figure out how I can
answer. Take your time, one at a time. Let's look at, for me, I could be doing something that I'm unaware that I am actually affecting or depriving the rights of people with disability.
Yeah. Let me start it the other way. Okay. Before I speak, like I speak on behalf of myself,
yes,
and other coalition parties, to more of in the beginning of the universal theology period, it's more clear than I will bring. First of all, thank you for signing. Actually, you mentioned something which is very important. And concerning the Disability Authority Bill, I think that's one of the very important bills, and that would actually cover all the issues that concerning people living with disabilities, I believe. And there's a recommendation on that from one of the member states. IMS, they recommend that we as a nation need to continue and put efforts to enact the Disability Authority Bill. Now, we understand that the government position, they do push that, and it's still in the process. It's still in the process to get the parliament approved the bill. And the bill actually speak about the equal employment of people living with disabilities, and it covers a lot of other things that concern the people living with disabilities. And when we look at the participation, in terms of participation, like as you put it, for them to participate in public affairs. First of all, we have to actually see, like, what are their needs. So once we understand the needs and how we address them, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
when we understand the needs, we're specifically addressing to what they really want, yes, what they really need in addressing their needs.
That's correct.
We could be going around in circles and not really addressing what their specific needs are. Yeah?
Yes, you're correct. Like, going back to the recommendations, like, I fully support what Simon did say. And let's look at, like, 0.6157, the recommendations that put forward by Cuba. They said, maintain the priority given to promoting the rights of people with disabilities and their access to health, education, employment, and basic services. That's one of the recommendations. Now, going back to, you know, our brother Simon, he did mention about, you know, government has to do more on addressing those issues concerning people living with disabilities. Now, I believe that through the recommendations that we have put forward by these member states, and if us, the able people, and both the disabled work together and push or put more effort and pushing the implementing agencies in the government institutions, like Department of Development and Religious,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are the ones implementing those, you know,
mm-hmm.
issues or those concerns. Now, the part that I observe is like the implementing agencies, in one way or the other, are the ones that actually not responding to these needs.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And that's the problem that you know personally I see.
Mm.
Now we got a lot of like you know the education needs and the health needs
mm-hmm.
and we are not really addressing it well. And during our UPR, if you go back to the universal periodic review that we did, we say that we need a database as well for people living with disabilities. So with the database, you can actually know really too well where the people living with disabilities are. so we can actually pick them and we can actually look into their needs well. At this point in time, we did not have such a database. Well, we understand that we don't actually have a good database as a nation as well. The NID is one of the things, but it's another area. But at this point in time, we really need to get things really, really well. Because once you got the information and data, it's very easy for us to identify the needs and where they are and address them accordingly.
It gives you a sense of direction so that you can go and how to address them even with this data, I guess.
That's correct.
Yeah. Let's go for a break here. When we come back, I mean, that's around. We see what we do in fact and don't realize that we are depriving the rights of these people, you know, with means, really. All right, Francis, just speaking, of course, on an idea, and of course, with the backdrop of the UPR, the Universal Periodic Review, some recommendations. An interesting point that Simon, who came this from Baroka, actually mentioned that the Disability Authority Bill that's sitting there somewhere in Parliament that needs to be enforced, I suppose, pushed to the corridors of Parliament to get some recognition. And recognizing the International Day of Persons with Disability, both my guests actually deliberate on issues around people with disability. Now, the panel, Frank joins us from the National Research Institute, and he says here, just a question, or probably just making quite an odd statement, really, is that persons living with disabilities don't have equal chance as you and I, able people, to enter Parliament or become a politician for that matter. I personally suggest that we should give equal opportunity and empower persons with disability to at least participate in political events so that we should at least have a voice that represents them in Parliament. What do you think about that, Billy?
Yes, that is one very important part of disseminating information and having a rep in Parliament. And considering that, we had considering women in Parliament and all this, and we forgot about the disability.
Or even for that matter, youth now, they will probably cry out for us.
Yes, of course. So, we say when it comes to inclusiveness, and then when it starts from up there, from Waigani all the way down to the grassroots level, we need this area to be fully understood by every citizen in PNG. So, like what our colleague has just pointed out, that is one very important area that we also need to work on. So, elections coming up, and do we have candidates running for persons with disability running
for a
place in Parliament. So they feel that their rights have been deprived in some way. So maybe I have this disability, so what's the use of running for Parliament? I just have someone that is able to just be the voice of the rest of us. But in most cases, those that are able, we still overlook this need.
They might not be representative,
They might not be, and there is no representative in that area. So from the national level down to the communities, we need to embark on this and maybe provide more awareness.
But away from there, and looking forward to another biggest event, that's the conduct of the national elections. How many people living with disabilities are given a fair go to actually go and stand in the queue and participate without fear or favor, being able to put their votes down? Are we overlooking them, you know? Are we pushing them away from something that they need to practice as their own right to actually go and cast a vote, you know?
That's correct. Like I said, if only that we have a good database, and we got a system that is more kind of Yeah, a database that actually track, you can track people like in this province, in this district, in this village, the special needs of people living in that particular area. So I think if only we had that, that would actually make it easier for us. Or I believe maybe
a certain government authority
they should have that information. I would say that's very important. If we are pushing for that database, we need to create something else. Like I said, the implementing agencies, the government agencies, which is Department of Development, Community Development, and Religion is the implementing agency. They really have to look into this.
Can I take this call? That was very quickly. And that's fine. If I want 100 talk back. Hello there.
Hi.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, got a wrong number.
You got a wrong number. All right, good on you. Anyway, that's it. Yeah, obviously, what happens, really. And so, yeah, but then, you know, when we talk about this, really, and people with disability, that emphasis, of course, and look out onto the roads now, and the public facilities we have. Do we have any that, you know, is there for people with disability, you know? And, you know, this disability authority bill that's sitting there, does it address those sort of infrastructure that need to be built, I suppose, for people with disability?
Yeah, it is. If you have the report, like I said on my previous discussion, there's a report, a national report presented by State Under Review, which is PNG, it's online. Through the Human Rights Council web page. If you have that report, you will on page 15, it addresses people living with disabilities, and the bill is one of the recommendations that the government is working on. And definitely on that bill, they have that. Yes. So point number one and two is if you have the document, then just go online and search that. It says like notable developments include designing infrastructures and facilities with consideration for the special needs of people with disabilities to access buildings, dedicated toilets, facilities, parking spots, banking facilities.
We'll come to that. Can I just quickly take this we're going at 10 o'clock now. All right. Coming back to that point, if you don't mind, I'll just hold it for a few more minutes. Here we go. And we're looking at and the significance of the day today itself, the International Day for of Persons with Disabilities. Now, and the recognition of their rights to have access, the rights to move around, the rights to be able to get into a shop. And Simon mentioned something like Turango. Yes? Or is it Turango? He said yes. But hang on a sec, he says. I can do this. You know, I just need the facilities, I suppose, or the support there from government, really. Now, coming back to this list of things, Francis, that should be captured in a disability authority bill, how many, or should there be an organization or a body that sits there watching and looking over infrastructure that's been built? And then doing the ticks, and say, yes, you need the aircon, you need the fire safety escape, and all of it. And hang on, you need a ramp for people with disability. Do we have that, or should we have? Should there be a body to be there overseeing that and doing the ticks and the checking of infrastructure that's been built, roads for that matter, as well, ramps for people with disability? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'll just say a bit on that. We'd say maybe what is the need for having a body when we have the implementing department in place to be able to be the front liners to all these recommendations.
Exactly. So if there is a physical planners or something to build roads, to build houses, there should be a representative from this department sitting there again to
take off. Yeah.
For people with disabilities.
So I believe it is still a challenge for us, like making it known to them and speaking for persons with disabilities. I may have some challenges to face because I may be able to give what I feel I know is a need for persons with disabilities, but in terms of pushing that forward, I need the support of my colleagues in the civil society and those that have played a part of providing services to persons with disabilities. The Cheshire Home has done a lot, and that is one organization that has been promoting rights of children with disabilities together with Calam Services. So taking it to the national level, back in Calam Services, the network, we have in the 19 provinces, we have 22 inclusive education resource centers. So we may have two in one province or one in another province. So in those resource centers, there are resources available for those persons with disability in one part of the province. But let's look at the rest of the provinces, the districts. So reaching out is one part, implementing is another, and then carrying on that message across the whole nation that we need to emphasize more on the needs of persons with disabilities.
Can I just come back again to the police that you were going through?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite, you know, explicit, I suppose, with what needs to be addressed, really. I mean, just running through that again, facilities, buildings, transport, infrastructure, and so forth. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think the issue is, like, I will always go back to implementing intensities. Are we maybe due to our understanding, or let's say, like what you said, there's not much awareness on people living with disabilities, they are special needs people. That could be the reason why you see many infrastructures or buildings going out without space for such people. There are some, like recently, I kind of see. Yeah. You go into some certain car parks, you will see there's space for, there's a sign there, or even toilets, there's space there. But I think there is a lot of awareness need to be done. And again, it depends on the implementing agencies. Well, they should have a rep. And then any construction companies or any buildings going up or car park or whatever, they should be there to make sure there's such space provided for special needs.
Inclusive, really.
Inclusive, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Well, we've been sort of slowly wrapping up, but that, in fact, and then we've been talking about working together, collaborating and, of course, working together. But we've seen this in the educational space, yes, and being inclusive with people with disability, and Calam Services doing its best, maybe it's a bit, in that sense. I'm coming to, and I get the idea when Simon says the Commerce Department, he mentioned the Commerce Department, in the sense that there are people with disability who are doing quite well in business. Yeah. And Simon is a shining example of someone with disability or visually impaired, but has gone ahead. He's got his business going, but he needs that support.
Yes.
When the government threw him, it's SME package funding of what, 22 million or something over the next 100 years, or 200 million, but over the next 10 years or so. It went down, but then he was concerned that, you know, for people with them, you know, there should be also, a space, I suppose, for
consideration
and how they can actually access those funds without having to have all the trouble of going through it.
Yeah, I said before, I will say it again. A database would actually help a lot. A database, that would be the solution. Now it's there. If only that database actually spelled out, you know, you talk about who he is, what he is, what is he doing, where is he from, where is she from, you know, you got the whole details. So it's crazy to see. When he has the needs, he can share it keeping those people responsible, and then they can turn it to bank and say, listen, this is a special needs. That would be the best way. But again, that's what I kind of see.
Yeah.
This time we don't get, like, I don't know Simon, but since he's on me now, I know that Simon is there.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be, like, going back to the implementing agency. They everybody actually has an idea.
Either they going back to the implementing agency, or the implementing agency needs to be outreach to this.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take this call, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bala from 100 Talkback.
Yes, morning. I'm just trying to pose a question that can they create a toll free number so that all the disabled persons can call and register.
How about that? Excellent. Who's this actually on the phone?
Martin calling from Lake.
Martin from Lake?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Martin. A brilliant point. What about that again? A toll-free number for people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Definitely taking note of that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Martin. They were from Lay, and one in a toll-free number, and so we can specifically look at people with disability who you know, and somebody to be offering.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back again probably to the implementation agency again to be. And so it's difficult because of the rugged terrain and country, how rapid it's going up there for a toll-free number.
Yes.
Let's see who's going to, you know, that number can go, and people can actually reach out to you. Martin, thank you so much.
Yes,
a brilliant number.
It's
brilliant.
Brilliant idea. Brilliant point there. Thank you, Martin, from Lee. I'll also say something on that. Yes, the toll-free number is, I think, one way of reaching out as well.
Or them reaching out.
Yes. And we could also make it known to those other agencies like the CIMC.
Right.
And also Child Fund has also taken the initiative of the counseling hotline.
Yes.
And counseling hotline has a lot that has been going on there. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that counseling hotline is one area that issues have been, shared to counselors over the telephone. And yeah, so considering, taking into consideration persons with disability, I think it's a very brilliant idea that Martin suggested.
Another call on the line. That's funny from 100 Talkback. Hello. Yes, good morning. Oh, there you go. We put the phone down enough. But that's an excellent idea, Martin. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's probably something that we could probably, you know, pursue in our deliberations here. Database.
Yes.
That our friends is quite passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably an important way to, you know, to assess who is where, you know, and especially people with disability. For you in Caroline Services, do you have a database when you do outreach programs, whether facilitating education or building infrastructure or so?
Of course we do. We have our database in place. We have through those database, then we know where the need comes in, and we know the issues that have been faced for persons with disabilities, especially those registered in the resource centers in the network. So I think database is one important area where we need to really emphasize on as well, and also avoid duplication of statistics. Because if we have our clients that access our services, then I believe Cheshire Home have their database as well, and all this. So together we reach certain parts of Papua New Guinea, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
So where we come in and where we can provide to an extent, then that's when maybe the implementing agency can look into that. And yes, because the fear here is duplication of information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, let me check this call out. Next one from 100 Talkback.
Gentlemen from our foot and our mobile racer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just want to raise my question.
Uh-huh.
What if the government should fund disability people for the mobile clinic fast or something, no motor vehicle for them to quick fast service for them to be clinic at home or clinic at the street, something like that. That must should be fun for them.
Oh, all right, thank you. Well, the outreach program again, we've got a mobile phone, or rather, a toll free number, and of course, help on wheels, I suppose. Get a vehicle to run out there and reach out to these people. Excellent. All right, we'll take a break here. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Okay, well, thanks, our friend here from 14 Mile. Brilliant. We've got two brilliant ideas now. Toll free number. To reach out to those with people with disability, and they actually can be also calling in on the toll-free number, and mobile assistance, government being mobile, going out and reaching out even in certain locations. Important must be, you know where they are, get on the wheel, run out to them, take the clinic, the medical, and whatever the assistance in that sense, reaching out to them. I've got this email here from Alois Michael. Mm. Alois says, thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts regarding the topic. One, awareness. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I believe awareness to the general public about disabilities must include prevention measures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? People need to know about simple measures to make before any situation they will face will bring permanent disability to them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's looking at people who might expose themselves, of course, to that sort of danger, but there are also people who are born with disabilities naturally as well. But thanks for that. Now, they have to know where to go to have simple treatment or see specialist doctors or other personnel who will help solve their problems or simple problems before it develops into a permanent situation resulting in disability. Excellent point there. Secondly, early screening. Identify any person and make proper referrals to trained personnel, including specialist doctors who will take proper treatment to prevent disability. Example, newly born babies and early childhood screening for any disability that might be showing up that needs attention. All right. And thirdly, rehabilitation centers. Some special centers are not providing most services that are required in the center. Example, he was involved in traveling around the country to see low vision trained personals on the ground, and no low vision aids to assist people with low vision, and that means that they are left out.
Mm-hmm.
They visited Leh, Wewak, Goroka, who are the main resource centers for disabled, but such services are not available anymore. All right. Community-based rehabilitation is not so active as well as center-based. This may mean not much funding. Right? The important thing here is the trained staff. The staff must have the heart to serve such people and not just employment. Okay. This is the important issue contributing well-being to the well-being of the disabled people. I personally support all resource centers, but staff must be properly trained and love their job. Absolutely. There you go. While we're there, I'll just take this other call. Let's find out from 100 Talkback.
Good morning, Douglas.
Yes. Frank Talk, good morning. Thank you for calling. Yes.
Well, good morning. What's the panel? Good morning to your panel.
You know,
good morning.
Today is, in fact, the International Day of Persons with Disability. And I've
okay,
got
okay.
Yes, I've got panel.
Congratulations to all the, disabled in the country, and to the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Panel and Douglas, I will come with another view, point of view of normal education system where I was a teacher myself for so many years and.
Mm-hmm.
In a school, we try to promote a concept called service learning, right?
Service learning.
Yes.
Okay.
We have school service, where school service is emphasized. We don't have variety, but we have school service. That is service to the school. So what do students do? They clean up, clear the school. But then we try to introduce another concept called community service. Now, this is where institutes like charity institutions like the church disabled center, they should outreach to schools and have groups of students and at least 2 or 3 hours helping out in cleaning of the center and appreciating the value of our disabled staff, appreciating the differences in human beings. We have the normal ones and that. So it builds up the citizenship, you know, qualities when they leave school at that age in terms of appreciation. So that's the thing that you know, I would like to suggest to the panel to consider. Which of the schools have that program? I think Port Moresby International School has a very effective program that they, because they're all about personality development. But in our public schools, we should allow our students to go into the community and serve the community as service learning, part of the curriculum, service learning, extracurriculum activities, apart from the normal curriculum learning in schools. That's my view.
Lars, from before you go, you were a teacher, you say. Maybe an experience of how you may have dealt with students with disabilities in your class during the time. Were there occasions where you had to come out and probably see that, you know, that there are needs, I suppose, for this specific group of people?
Well, we give them special attention, attention that overrides the normal students. So on that basis, for me, I give more attention to the students. So I normally check up with the student after classes, whether he's learning. Now, I had a student, I think he's a very successful person now. He's on Facebook. I forgot his name. But he's got this disability with his arms. But I tell you, he can write. And this guy is advocating on Facebook. Adrian Chasenga. He's a real role model for the disabled. I mean, what he can do with his hands. And he's got disabled arms. They're short. But he competed with a normal student when he was at Ayura. And he went to university. He got a degree. So, you know, I was amazed at how he can write. And he was better than some of our normal students. Faster. Because he adapted to his abnormality. So that's the way we should treat them at school. We don't. But a lot of teachers don't. You know, it's just plain 100% of the time we teach normal students, but we don't see that amongst those, that crowd, there is somebody who said normal. So you have to check with disabilities like hearing. You cannot detect it. Eyesight. So really you have to move students around. Now if a student cannot hear from the back, obviously you have to move the child to the front and then later personally talk to him, because they refuse to tell you what is the disability in them. So it's impaired learning. It impairs the learning ability. That's the difference between us, the normal and the disabled, with learning impairments.
Yes.
I don't know whether I'm coming at the point that is relevant.
No, I think it is. Absolutely. Can I just drop in another spin to the mix here, Frank Chok? And there is a disability authority bill that's not mistaken in Parliament now that needs that recognition of members as opposed to push it around. Now, you were looking at the inside of a classroom and students with disability. The infrastructure on the outside, I mean, you might not have come across a student who might be wheelchair into the classroom, but for you, from your point of view, being exposed to, you know, schools for a long time, there obviously must be, you know, certainly a need as opposed to build infrastructure that's friendly, user-friendly as opposed to people with special needs, wheelchairs, crutches, and so forth, and need to get into a classroom.
That's in Lou Douglas and the panel. My experience, I spent 6 years in Nauru, looking at a different perspective of our education, and they were inclusive. They had a massive $40 million learning complex. They call it the Learning Village. So I was amazed to see this pathway that led from there. And I asked, what is this for? It's for our disabled to push the wheelchair up, or automated wheelchair. They just push themselves up and they have access to the facility. So they were included in the plan of the building, everyone. So they were part of the population. They were included in the population as normal. So it was accepted. So I obviously, we were part of the pioneering teaching staff at Port Moresby National High School. a prestigious national high school, that's so called in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They do not include those facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So going up the steps to the library, there should be a side entry, or because 100% of our learners are normal. We have not seen a disabled student, you know, entering the school, but
mm-hmm.
it will come one day when we will have these groups entering the school. So
okay.
definitely it's inclusive in the building plan.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Frank Tuck.
And thank you very much, and have a good day, panel.
Thank you. All right, and that'll probably wrap up our discussions as well. I mean, let me thank my panel here. Lauren Penius is a National Child Protection Training Officer, National Unit for Persons with Disability with Carlin Services, and Francis Murray from Murray's Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of the Universal Periodic Review, marking in the recommendations 119 countries or so, member states, yes, 193 member states, and like there are over 60 recommendations, yes, from the back of my hand. 161 recommendations.
60 delegations.
Over 60 delegations were involved in this recommendation today. So the Universal Periodic Review recognizing also today as the International Day of Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.